Jowson, sweetie, please drop that beat to start the show.
The Romantic Truth Podcast extends a loving and warm welcome to listeners in celebration of our sixth year of the show. We wish you a promising 2024.
Please be advised that due to the language, subject matter, and topics of the show, adults 18 years of age and older are highly recommended for this content.
Uninterrupted and commercial-free listening.
Now, since all of that is over, I would like to take this opportunity and introduce you to the host of Romantic Truth, Jowson in Las Vegas.
Hi everyone, Jowson with you here, Romantic Truth Las Vegas. I hope everybody's doing well today. Keep it real, of course. I was looking at a show on Discovery Channel today. Pretty interesting. And it was talking about quiet onset. You might want to check that out. It's pretty telling. Some of the things that's happening now in Hollywood. Things that a lot of people, like myself, knew was going on, but nobody said anything. That's one of the reasons why I didn't get involved in that whole morass of chasing stars and fandom and all of that other stuff and fame, because the gatekeepers are the people you had to watch the most. And I felt sorry for a lot of parents who had children, and they wanted their children to be successful. And in some cases, they would turn them over to some of these people. Music industry, entertainment industry in general. A lot of trauma, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And some parents really don't give a shit as long as their kid is famous and they become rich. Then you have others that really want to stick by their kids, and they get edged out by other people in the industry. It's a cruel business. Talent is secondary. Your business acumen comes in first. If you don't have that, you're screwed. The one thing that many of these people in this industry want, they want a desperate person. Someone willing to do anything to go anywhere. You have people in relationships in that same mindset. And you have gatekeepers out there waiting for the next victim. This is not to scare you, this is to let you know the truth. And there are some people that specifically use dating as a way of controlling people. Nothing else. They use relationships for that same purpose. All the demons that they have within themselves, they try to share them with their unfortunate partner. And that partner could be trying their best in order to keep the relationship going. But this person may have no intentions of it ever developing into something tangible. We're talking about sabotage, people. Some of you have been in relationships where a person deliberately sabotages the relationship, especially after they get what they want. It could be sex, it could be money, it could be notoriety, it could be connection with someone else that's maybe a little bit more prominent than you, or a little bit more affluent than yourself. And sometimes you get heartbroken and you start making compromises that you shouldn't make for that person that really doesn't have your best interests at heart, or even their own in some respects. Sometimes we don't like to look at that. We don't like to reflect back on some of the mistakes we made in the past as far as decisions. I get it. Nobody really likes to go over bad news. But here's what you have to look at. You don't dwell or focus on the past. You learn from it. You take all of your energy and you put it towards your future and the optimism. And unless you do that, you're going to always spiral back to where you were. Now, one of the biggest challenges to start a relationship is to decipher whether or not this person is serious about going forward with you. What are they there for? Is it just a situation where they just want to see where it goes? Or is it a situation where they're focused and want something that's going to develop into something that's tangible, something that can really work out to be very fulfilling for the both of you? Are they willing to do the work? You know, in the beginning of most dating arrangements and relationships, we're in that honeymoon phase. You know, that phase where we think we have found the one. We're putting all our energy into giving our best impression. Sometimes we become so enthusiastic that we overlook some of the obvious things that are going to really hamper the relationship, because we're so focused on the goal and not necessarily the pathway to get there. You run across situations sometimes where you might find someone, but they might not have certain qualities that you're looking for. But for the most part, many of the things you're looking for, they do meet, but there's this other portion that you really wish was there. That's a difficult thing to manage, because you're asking yourself, is it worth the risk? As I told you before you enter any relationship with someone, ask yourself this question: is it worth it? And if the answer is yes, qualify it. Explain to yourself why it's worth it. And here's the thing I want you to understand. There's nothing that's tangible. There's something that is coming from more of you than from the person. You have a problem. You're putting something on this potential relationship that's not even there yet. The reason why I say this is because when you're delusional, you go into a relationship, you superimpose things that you would like to be there that aren't there and that can't be there in order to make it work. I've seen people lie to other people to get into a relationship, giving them these grandiose stories of success and fortune and fame and wealth. And then that partner finds out that this person is just an average, everyday person with low self-esteem, trying to make themselves more attractive, larger than life, in order to be more appealing to others, because they don't have that confidence in themselves. And the person that they wind up with is to make a decision. Should I go forward and try to see if I can maybe build something out of this? Or should I just move on? This is where a lot of women get stuck with the guy that they're going to make out of a project. I can fix him. I can kind of get him to the specifications I need. Ladies, this is where many of you waste your life, your time, and your youth. Men, you should know this already. When you run across a woman that's doing nothing but just wasting your money, wasting your time, wasting your emotions, you don't have that time to waste or that money for those emotions. You know, it's funny. People write me either before they make a bad decision or after they've made one. Very seldom do they write in the process of making a bad decision. That's because they've chosen their own path. And what I try to help you with is that same judgment you use to make the decision that maybe was the wrong one, not to lose confidence in yourself and your decision-making skills, but make better decisions. Will you restore that confidence? Here is the easiest way to do it. A fool never learns from being a fool. They become a perpetual fool, which makes them proficient at it, meaning that they will go and make the same mistake repetitively. And they wonder why they've been married 4 or 5 times. They wonder why they've been engaged multiple times, or they've had multiple live-in relationships and none of them panned out. It's because they're doing the same thing over and over again. And we love to have the convenience of blaming our partner for the problems. We rarely look at ourselves and see how we are part of the problem. Kind of hold that off because we prefer someone else being to blame. When we talk about getting involved with someone, we sometimes focus on the aesthetics more so than the content, like the packaging of the person. But we don't look at the contents of what the packaging has. And you know, it's kind of amazing at times. And some of you probably thought this way as well. When you were single, or if you're single, and you knew of someone that would be an ideal person for you to be with, but they've gotten heartbroken out of a relationship, and you see clearly, vividly, what was wrong and what would need to be corrected in order for you to have a relationship with that person. But that person would never be interested in you. This is what happens when a person is accustomed to going for what they want. Because see, you gotta remember, what you want has to want you back. If it doesn't, you're dealing with a half deck of cards. And a lot of times people go for what they want and they may not get the reciprocity from that other party. And then they feel as though everything would have worked out if the other person would have cooperated or would have acted right. They are under no obligation to do anything for you or the betterment of that relationship starting out. So what we have to remember is we're going basically on someone's generosity, emotional generosity, when it comes down to a relationship in general. Some people are not as generous as others. There are some that won't really consider your feelings. There's some of you that have dealt with people that won't even communicate with you because they feel as though there's no need to. I'm right. Everything I do is perfect. Then you have others where you'll contend with, where you're going to be dealing with constant maintenance on the relationship, trying to keep them interested, trying to keep it going forward. And after a while, you burn yourselves out. attractive as you feel as though you're the only person that really gives a damn about it. And you begin to realize those sentiments are very true. And you have the choice of either ending it or trying to see whether or not you can cope with it, because it's not going to change. There have been women that I've dated that it was like, if she would do this or be this way, we could have a relationship. But you know what I was not going to do? I was not going to try to re-engineer that person to my specifications. I'd rather find a better fit of a person than to try to go and customize an individual or hone an individual into what I would like. So, the strategy is pretty simple. Find someone that's more compatible. And compatibility is not based on race, geographic location. It's not based on all of those aesthetic things that we think about. You may want to look at the person's philosophy, their values, their standards. You'd be surprised how close of a fit you have with people that you would think would not be a consideration, but they'd be a better fit for you. But of course, once again, it's not what you want. And that emotion, that feeling, will keep you on a perpetual quest. We'll talk more in just a moment. January 26, 2020 was a sad day because we lost a basketball great, Kobe Bryant, a father, a husband, and along with his passing, his daughter. And it was a very traumatic time for many, especially in Los Angeles and sports fans throughout the world. Today, there seems to be some controversy in respect to his family selling a ring that was given to his father. It's a replica NBA championship ring, I guess. And the highest bid so far has been $98,000. Some are assuming that the family may be kind of hard at for cash. And it could be a possibility. But now we got to look at a few other things here. It was no secret, apparently, that there was a rift between his family and the family of his current wife. And it had to do more with, from what I understand and what I've read, it had to do with her being a non-black woman. Now, this is a stigma that we face sometimes in the black community, because this is a holdover from segregation for the most part. Let's face it. You stay with your own, and that's it. I remember growing up, and I was in a place in Mississippi where that was the saturated theme. You stayed with your own. Whites stayed with whites, blacks stayed with white and blacks. And those that had a different view were looked upon suspiciously. Where they would say, well, you know, depends on whether or not you really love the person, no matter what race they are, etc. That wasn't too popular, especially in the South. So what happened we decided to move to California, later on my mother and I. Because a lot of it had to do with the fact that it's centered around a mindset that we had to grow out of, because we didn't want to become like some of the people who stayed in that frame of mind. I know people right now where they honestly believe that every white person and every person that's not black is against them in some capacity. And once that happens, you start to create the boogeyman. And then before it's over with, you're kind of put in your place when you don't want to be put in your place, so to speak. And you're afraid to go out of that bubble. That's your comfort zone for life. Well, some parents try to impose that on their kids. Now, from what I understand, this riff, based on the situation, there was some sort of resentment towards the family. Don't know whether it's true or not. It's all speculative on what they wrote in this one article, because it's suggestive at best. I mean, subjective at best. And here's the thing. Apparently, as we know, Vanessa has Kobe's war chest. All the financial, everything. And she's had some difficulties too, because I think her mom tried to sue her for babysitting, tried to itemize things in order to get a portion of the money back as well. So you're dealing with that. I don't know how that turned out. She was able to successfully sue the county of Los Angeles. I guess people were actually putting photos out there of his deceased body at the time. And she also was awarded damages for that, apparently. Now, what I'm getting at, folks, is that sometimes if a person does not see that you're supportive in a relationship, there may be a backlash. Meaning that you don't support a relationship or a marriage that your kid may be involved in. You don't agree with it for whatever reason. Your kid becomes successful. There's a good possibility you're just somebody else on the street to them. It could actually go that way. I had a friend years ago that was experiencing something similar, not on the scale of what Kobe's dealing with, but his family's doing, but something a little bit lesser. His mother didn't like him being with a white woman. And he was the only person that graduated from college in his family. He was the only person that had a decent job in the family that paid a decent salary. He wasn't working hourly or anything like that. And he was supporting his mother, paying all of her bills. But his mother looked at the white woman as to say, you're not going to be the conduit for the wealth transfer in his family. In other words, you're not going to take his money out of the family. Well, Mom made it very difficult for him to deal with her, calling her names, not inviting her to certain family functions. It went on down the list. Well, eventually, he stopped dealing with Mom. And she called a family meeting and basically got him in there and ridiculed both he and she, big time. Went, talked about what they weren't doing and how they could do things better, and they don't need to be together, and she's only in it for the money. I mean, they went down the whole gamut. And then when it came down to the children, she didn't know whether or not those were her grandkids, et cetera, et cetera. Going down the list, and he had had enough. He cut off the bills. He quit paying the bills for his mom. And oh, everybody in the family thought that that was sacrilege. He shouldn't have done that. And the white woman was treating him out to be a sellout, and on and on and on and on and on. Now, mind you, this guy was the only person that bought Christmas gifts during Christmas. He's the only one that bought gifts during birthdays. Everybody else was giving cards and like $5 or $10. Once he pulled himself out of the equation, then they started realizing how much they missed the resources he provided. Out of all the money he had given his mom over the years, she never thought put aside money for burial insurance. She passed away. I'll never forget the conversation he and I had. And he asked me, he told me his mom had passed away, and he didn't shed a tear. That's what really shocked me. Because at first they were very close. And he said, I can't cry over someone that put a dagger in my back. And he said, she didn't have the money to be buried. Do you think I should bury my mother? Why are you asking me? His wife got on the phone. Will you tell him to go and bury his mother? At least do that. I said, my opinion is not going to mean anything. I said, but I would if I were you. He got the most inexpensive casket he could get. I mean, this thing was flimsy. And of course, the family was upset because he didn't spend lavishly on the funeral. They were talking about he was embarrassing the family because he didn't spend the kind of money he should have spent. And all of these were people that didn't have shit, didn't do shit in life. And they're complaining. I never forget one thing he told me. He said, this is what I get for giving back. Nothing but complaints. Well, the house had to be put up for sale because he wasn't going to live in South Central. And the family started coming in, telling me they're going to get lawyers and everything. Not one person in that family could afford a lawyer but himself. What he did, he sold the house after the taxes and everything he'd had to pay. He went on and meted out the money to the family members. They got something like $5,000 apiece or so. And of course, they complained about that. It's not enough. But that was all that was going to happen. And so everybody in his family to this very day calls him a sellout. That woman stayed with him. She never once faltered. She never once second thought anything. It's the way it is. Not because she was a white woman, but because she was a good woman. They come in all colors, you know. Some people are so dead set on only being with someone in their own group that they will not get the best person for them. They'll just get a quota met. A lot of people I know right now call me up complaining because they were trying to appease family. I have some family members that once they became adults, shit, they ain't want to have nothing else to do with the family. They gone. Don't even want to associate. I don't criticize them. They have their lives to live. I can't blame them. Because, see, what happens sometimes, families feel so entitled that they want to force you into doing something, browbeat you into doing something. And this is where conflict arises. Some of you who have been in arranged marriages and got out of them, you definitely know what I'm talking about. You were young, you didn't love the person, you wound up marrying the person, the shit didn't work out, the person probably abused you, you had nothing in common, there was no passion, it was just meno. Marriage in name only. That was it. No love, nothing. I dated a couple women like that from different parts of the world. We've gone through that experience. They told me all about it. Some of them, I know two of them can't go back to where they came from, to their country, to visit ever again. It happens. And what you have to understand too is this. As I told you before, what's the hardest thing in life to do? Finding yourself, finding who you are, and having control of your own life, your own existence. You see, people that have failed in life a lot of times want you to be the person to be the success for them. And they try to impose their will on you to be better than they were. That's not your job. That really isn't your job. And so you'll be going through the majority of your life trying to impress people that don't shoulder the burden you do. Is that fair? Carrying on extra weight, extra responsibilities that you know damn well if you had your druthers on it, you would say, wait a minute, whoa, I don't need all this shit right now. Let me plan my existence. Let me plan my destiny. Let me deal with what I know I am capable of dealing with. You know, it's like these people that would say, well, yeah, I was bad. I deserved that whooping. And, you know, my mama hit me with an extension cord and all that dumb shit. You didn't need that. Because had the work been done earlier in life, they wouldn't have had to use an extension cord later on. They wouldn't have had to use all that. And then you got to remember, some of that shit was not even your fault. A lot of it had to do with the person being mad because of the failures in their own lives. The shit that they failed at doing. And they take the frustration out on the kid. Just like people would kick a dog or something like that. Something that couldn't fight back. Why do you think you have so many comedians talk about how they got whippings, how they had to go through a lot of trauma? They're doing that shit because that is their way of expressing it through comedy, because it's not funny. They're crying inside. And when they go in front of these audiences, especially black comedians, they go in front of these audiences and they say, you know what I'm talking about. Half of them don't, because they didn't go through that shit. And the reason why they didn't go through it is because they had parents that were vigilant. Just because something's a tradition doesn't mean that it's right. It just means that a whole bunch of motherfuckers are doing it just because somebody else did it. You gotta see what's beneficial. I get criticized a lot. Oh, you don't eat soul food. Yeah, that's the reason why I don't eat soul food. Look at all the sodium in it. Look at what they gave our ancestors. Scraps. Why the fuck should I eat the snout, the feet, the tail, the chitlins of a pig? My ancestors did that so I wouldn't have to. They paid the price. They made the sacrifice. Keeping up the tradition for what? To be closer to them? The only way I could have been closer to them would have lived at the time they lived and suffered the humiliation they suffered. I was born 3 generations from a slave. My father was a sharecropper, born in 1897. His father was born on a plantation as a slave child. My father's father, his father, was a slave. And in each generation, we try to make ourselves better, to distance ourselves from the humiliation. But never forget and always acknowledge the sacrifice that was made for us to do better. To fall back in line with things that were going on before was a slap in the face to every ancestor. To get sidetracked with drugs, to get sidetracked with substance abuse. To go forward or to get sidetracked with traditions that don't even apply to you. So what I'm saying to you in essence is this: if you're faced with a situation where your family's putting pressure on you or anybody's putting pressure on you to be with someone because they think that that'd be a better fit for you, you are one fucked up individual if you consider that. Because no matter what, you have to remember it's their choice, not yours, in that case. Which means that for a while they're going to be controlling a part of your life, dictating who you're with. Now, when you're a child and under somebody else's roof, under your parents' roof, that's a whole different story. Hopefully they're looking out for your best interest. But after you have gotten out of there and they still have that control, or they're trying to assert that, you got a problem. Now, many parents will try to influence because of what they perceive. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing for you, but they perceive it as being better. But they don't know. They have no idea. I remember a lady I worked with one time, we were talking about past relationships. And she was talking about how her parents were crazy about this one kid when she was in high school. And wanted her to be with him because they really liked him. On the surface, he was an upstanding kid. Well, they tried a few times talking to his parents, trying to get them hooked up. They went on a couple of dates. She just wasn't feeling it. And she said it was just something creepy about him. She said she knew what it was, but it was something creepy about him. And she told her mom and dad, it's a no-go. Now, once she said that, every other guy she dated, the family disapproved of. They wanted her with this kid. Dad had a good job. The guy's mom had a good job. Well, he went to college. And before you knew it, he was charged with rape. She She had that feeling that something wasn't right with this kid. And the mom and dad were so shocked and so heartbroken and calling his parents and wondering how they could help and then trying to make excuses for him. Oh, the girl must have been dressed a certain way, what she told me. Oh, she was provocative. She probably came on to him. Folks, this argument does nothing more than foster an environment for the most evil people in the world. I was looking at the show on the Discovery Channel. I talked about it earlier, I believe. Quiet on Set. If you have Discovery, you might want to check it out. It's pretty interesting. Some of the shows they talk about. Nickelodeon, Glee. And what it gives you an idea of is how these people are manipulated. And also, when people get caught and held to task, one of the young men was actually sexually assaulted. And I think his name is, because it was Drake and some other guy, I think, not the singer Drake, but the kid on Nickelodeon. But the other guy wasn't touched. Nothing happened to him from what I understand. But Drake, that guy, he was sexually assaulted. And he finally took the guy to court that did it. I think the guy's last name was Peck or something. Brian Peck, I believe. And the guy wound up with 18 years and had registered as a sex offender. On Drake's side of the courtroom, he said it was only his mother, his attorney, and him, and his brother. On the defendant's side of the courtroom, it was packed with Hollywood people. What I'm telling you folks is this. There are a lot of people out there who will excuse people when it comes down to real deviant behavior. They will cover each other, especially in the entertainment industry. That's the reason why I tell you folks, if you're going to put your kids in that industry, you better stay with them 24/7 and know what the hell you're doing. And if something's suspicious, call it out. Don't waste no time. And do not let them leverage that child's career or whatever against them having more access to them alone. Fuck the money. Keep your kid. I'm just telling you. Because those handlers, those managers, those agents will try to separate you from your children. And you don't know what your child is doing at that time. Especially if they're middle-aged teenager, if they're in their mid-teens. Stick with your kids if you're going to get involved. If they won't allow you to do that, fuck them. Another thing too, don't let them overwork your kids as far as hours. Because some of those kids were working way past what was allowed. Just tell me. But if you get a chance, check that show out. You find it kind of interesting. You could download the Discovery app and watch it on there, I believe, on your phone. All right. We're going to talk more in just a moment. Kathy, I did get your email, and you're out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now, I'm not going to read it, Kathy, because it was very long, and I ask you folks, when you write emails, make them short, because here's the thing. I would have to go and put them through voice synthesis, and I'd have to do that over page after page after page in order for it to be read back on the show, because I'm not going to read the whole thing when it's that long, and I just wasn't going to spend damn near 45 minutes trying to get it put together. So here's the thing. I'll tell them what's going on, and we'll go from there. Now, Kathy, folks, fell in love with this guy. Kathy's in her mid-30s. The guy is 43. And she thought she had found the love of her life. Met him on Match. Everything seemed to be fine. Well, their first date, she started noticing something, but she ignored it. They went on a date, and she asked them prior to, because he was asking her at first, what restaurant would you like to go to? What type of restaurant? And she said that she wanted to go to an Italian restaurant. Well, when he comes to pick her up, he asked her again, what restaurant would you like to go to? And she said, well, I'd like to go to an Italian restaurant. And she named one. Well, he said, well, we'll do that next time. We're going to a steakhouse tonight. I feel like steak. That should have been her first red flag. He didn't consult or even work with her on it. They get there, and she's trying to look on the menu to see whether or not they have, because she wanted Italian cuisine. And so she was going to order something like chicken Alfredo or something like that. I think she wrote. And he said, no, you need a wholesome American meal. So he ordered Yankee pot roast, I believe, for her and a steak for himself. And he ordered her a glass of wine without even asking her what kind of wine she wanted. And he had his mug of beer. Well, they went on, and she kind of grinned and bared it. And she was under the impression that things would get a little bit better. Well, as they were talking, he started letting her know his political views. Of course, right-wing conservative Trump supporter for sure. And she was kind of uncomfortable with that. And the minute she mentioned Biden's name, it was like a trigger for a landmine. He said, don't you ever mention that name around me as long as we're together, blah, 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 blah. Gave it a whole 9 yards. From that point forward, they treated her like shit on a date. At first, he was opening her door when he went into the restaurant, when she got out of the car. Afterwards, he just walked out in front of her. Didn't open the door for the car. Well, what has happened? They still went out together with her thinking things are going to be better. He asked her out a second time. The second time, he takes her over to his place. She feels kind of uncomfortable. The guy has guns. He has the damn elk kids and all of this stuff all around the house. And she realized for sure at that point that this guy may not be the guy for me. And so she makes a few comments to him about how she's got a different view on animals. And he calls her a wimp. He says, quit being so weak, etc., etc. Well, she soldiered through it. And she had to wind up spending the night because this guy wouldn't take her home, literally. The next day, they didn't have sex from what she said, but who knows. The next day, he takes her back home. Now at this point, she's done with him completely. She's totally done with him. He's crossed the line, crossed the boundaries, etc., etc. Well, he didn't contact her for about a week. Thought she was in the clear. She comes home from work one day, and there are these flowers, a bottle of wine, and some candies. He softened up. Now, this is where she fucked up. She called him to thank him for all of those items. And he put on the charm. He apologized for the way he acted in the past, and he really thought about it, and he was wrong, and he wants her to give him a second chance. Boy, he sucked her in on that second chance. Very charming, romantic, listening to her, going through that whole gamut. Well, things went well for them for up to around 8 months. She was really loving it. And it got to the point where he would come over after work, and she thought she had really got this man that has changed. Oh boy. He kept that facade up as long as he could. Went back to his old ways. And now, she writes me, wanting to know if she should give him another chance, because now she really feels as though he's changed because he's gone to therapy. Ladies, when I talk about some of you being your own worst enemy when it comes to relationships, it's shit like this I'm talking about. You give the worst guy the most chances and limit the good guy to one, if that. And then you complain about choosing the wrong guy. There are no good men out there. Well, fuck, if you knew what you were looking for, you wouldn't have that problem. But most of you don't. You will deliberately go out there and reach for failure in the jaws of success. Seen it happen too many times. Hell, it's happened to me several times. I remember one lady she was talking to me and we were chit-chatting. And as we were talking, she said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I work in radio. Which I did at the time. And she was like, well, you're not famous because I never heard you on any major radio stations. I said, well, no, I'm not. I don't make the kind of money Rick Dees and all the rest of those people make. I said, you know, that's because they're the ones who were established well before now, because radio was going down when it came down to salaries. They weren't paying because video was coming in from MTV. So it was going to be a dying art. And she's like, well, I think I need to be with someone a little bit more successful. I never forget that. The guy she got with, he was a known liar. Oh, Mr. Mendacity, I used to call him, because he knew how to get women through lying. Well, he bullshitted her and then got her to move in eventually. And I'll never forget what she told me. She said, I should have chosen you. At least you were honest. And I said, well, wasn't he honest? Which I knew he wasn't, because he was one of these people that would be around the clubs and things like that, and he'd hand out business cards, and every club he had a different business card, and these women would fall for this shit. Well, she got woken up to reality when she moved in with him, and she woke up and there were these people coming into the condominium, she didn't realize that he had already moved all his shit out that morning. It wasn't his place at all. His friend was house-sitting for these people, and the friend gave him the key to the condo because he was going out of town. So imagine these people coming back to the place that they owned with a half-naked woman walking around the house, sleeping in their bed. He was left in a fucked up situation. But see, here's the thing. She was reaching for what she wanted, not what she needed. And then she tried to dial it back a bit. Maybe we could go, no, Nope. And ladies, quit thinking that a man is butthurt when you choose someone else and then roll back to him. He's not butthurt. He's glad you made that decision because he knows how you think. And therefore, he doesn't want to take that risk with you. That's what that's about. That's what it's about, in a nutshell. She and I became friends over the years. And she started telling me, bit by bit, about some of the things that had transpired with him. He never kept a promise. Of course he wasn't going to keep a promise. He's a liar. But you women sometimes want to believe everything some of these guys tell you. Oh, and they paint beautiful pictures. And most of those guys ain't going to do shit. Let me tell you something, ladies. A real user of women, let me tell you what these guys will do. That picture that they're painting for you, guess who they're expecting to pay for it? You. The house, the car, the lifestyle. Most of those guys are pointing at you to pay it. But they ain't gonna do shit. There's no need for them to do anything if they see it. But you fall for it. You know, it's just like the guy that falls for the woman that's got all the makeup and all of the stuff done. And then when she takes off her clothes, he starts smelling that odor. That's what it's like for us. And that's what it's like for you. After you peel the onion and find out there's nothing at the core but emptiness. It's a tough go. Because let me tell you, I've been bullshitted by many women. Had all these high-ass standards I had to meet. And like a simp, I went through all of those hurdles. And the guy she wound up with was an ain't shit guy. He didn't have to jump over one hurdle. Never finished high school. Addicted to drugs. But that's who she was gonna bank on. And then I had to think about it after a while, after doing this a few times. What am I doing this for? If the end result is she's going to lower the bar for him but raise the standards for me. Fuck her and her standards. And then what I started to realize, many of those women who did that, they did it for control. Because the guy was at a total disadvantage and they had control. And it had more to do with issues of them being hurt in the past. And they put that wall up so they could choose the weaker parties. The stronger parties that would probably have her accountable and call her out on her shit and her agenda, they raised those standards for and ignored the standards for the weaker guy, the guy that she really wants. Because see, when a woman wants a man, those standards and boundaries, she'll lower them motherfuckers in a heartbeat. But she will lie and say, no, they meet the same standards that I put for everybody. You very seldom find a woman that does that. that bias kicks in. Shit, if anything, with a guy, his standards are already low. The only time he raises his standards is if she cheats or fucks up on him. You guys do the opposite. You guys raise your standards to filter the guys out so you can choose the guy you want. Men, on the other hand, with women, many of them lower their standards so every woman can get in there, pretty much. And then they put the filter up for the women that are going to be like the friend, the woman that is loose and is out there and sleeping with a whole bunch of people. That's a whole different thing. I remember a friend of mine asked me one time, because it was a lady that I was dating, and he says, how can you date somebody that you don't trust? Because I told him a few times I just didn't trust her. And I told him, I said, well, I know what she's capable of doing and not doing. I said, but for the most part, I'm learning a lot from her. I said, but will my heart go there? No. I said, this is more of an educational practice here. And I told her that. Because she knew I didn't trust her. So I never had to worry about getting disappointed. Because she was the disappointment that I could learn from. You can learn something from anybody. An alcoholic, a person on the street, all the way to a college professor. She helped me on game a lot. Because after she realized that, hey, I wasn't going to be one of these guys opening up his wallet. I wasn't going to be one of these guys that was going to be a doormat for her. And I told her straight up, the only thing we have to do, if we want to, we can go out, dance, and fuck. That's it. I laid it out right there. And she was cool with it. Because you have to limit and mitigate your risk with people that you don't feel comfortable around as far as your feelings. It's up to you to choose who you give your feelings to and how long and in what manner. Because if you're one of these all-in people, well, you're going to get your heart shattered many times over. Because you give too much when you do give. And sometimes you give too soon. So nothing's waiting for you but disappointment, but heartbreak. I make it a practice to not date any woman that's been engaged multiple times. Nope, no thank you. I don't deal with you. Best thing we could do is have sex, maybe go out a few times. As far as a relationship, hell no. Something's wrong with you. You've been rejected that many times. And a lot of times they'll say, well, no, I was the one that rejected. Well, there's something wrong with you rejecting because you have poor judgment, apparently. There's something fucked up that it didn't come to fruition. Also, if she's been married more than twice, no thank you. If you've been married more than twice, baby, the only thing we're going to do is just have sex and that's it. Nothing else. There'll never be anything beyond that. I'm taking my chances. Long-term relationships. I steer away from women that get into these long-term relationships for like 7 and 10 years at a time. And it went nowhere. Those kind of situations make me nervous. Now, if they're in one, maybe two, I might consider it. But multiple, I was with this person 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, and never married, or never, Now, I'm not saying marriage has to be the hallmark of morality. As you know, I am no saint by no stretch. I don't even believe in that book for the most part or anything associated with it because it's too fictional for me. I look at it as a piece of Palestinian literature. I think you got, what, 66 books in the New Testament, I believe, and they don't even have Romans in the Old Testament. So the way I see it is that it's interesting reading, but I'm not living my life by that shit. I know that turned off a lot of people, but so be it. That's one thing that's good about living in this country. You don't have to comport yourself to some sort of national religion, at least for now. Who knows what happened in the future after this election. But the one thing that we have to come to an understanding with as people looking for relationships, going out there dating, is that you got to get beyond the optics and the aesthetics. A lot of dating coaches, dating sites, they focus on that only. And you got to survive that shit. It's that is the easiest part when it comes down to dating. It's just like resume preparation. Resume looks good, right? Oh, you're dressed to the nines in that interview. You're answering those questions that are already choreographed. And then as soon as they hire you, you realize, oh, here's the real you. Oh, shit. When I worked in IT, there were people that we hired. We hired one guy, I'll never forget it. I hired the guy on our team. He was a PHP programmer. And on his resume, he was like knocking it out of the park. We gave him a coding test. He did very well on the coding test, and documentation was excellent, was superb. So we decided to bring him on. And during the interview, oh man, you know, he knocked it out of the park. We hired this guy. First week, he had a sexual harassment charge. Pushing himself on one of the programming women. So that had to be handled. He was beating up the snack machine one day. Write him up for that. Then he started stealing hard drives. Brand new hard drives in the box. We let him go. But based on the aesthetics, we hired him. But guess what? You don't find out about the moral character and all the rest of this until later. But had we did a little bit more due diligence, we would have found out that he had been fired from 3 of the jobs that he had last had. The people that we contacted for the references and to find out, they were friends vouching for him. Supposed co-workers that never worked with him before. People will sell themselves to you if they have an agenda. They're going to try to have it fulfilled. And the one thing that you have to remember is this: do not get blinded by the bullshit, because I'm telling you, you get into a relationship with someone and you guys really get embedded together, where you're buying shit together, living together, and that person shows you who they are. If it's not what you signed up for, you're in for a rough ride. As I told you, there's no crystal ball. And just going by aesthetics alone is not enough. I know we like to do that because We want this image of a pristine person that's nice, clean fit, et cetera, et cetera. You know, some of the filthiest women I've ever met in my life have been the most well-dressed women. I kid you not. And that's what I found interesting. I would never date a woman that's drenched in perfume, where everything she touches smells like perfume. I'm not dealing with a woman like that. Mm-mm. Every one of them I've dealt with, they were hiding funk. Shit, I went out with one lady. I never forget it. She was honest with me, though. I got to give her credit. She was heaped in perfume. And she told me, because we got on the subject of hygiene, we got on the subject of past dates and that kind of thing. And I was telling her about some of my dating situations. She was telling me about hers, and hers was horrific. And she tells me, she says, well, I only shave when I have a boyfriend. I was like, oh, okay. And she says, yeah, I take a bath about maybe once every 2 weeks. I take a shower about once every other day. I said, okay. She said, yeah, so I'll take a bath on Monday. And I probably won't take a bath for 2 weeks after that. But when it comes down to showering, I take a shower maybe this Thursday, but I won't do it again until probably next Wednesday. Then she started telling me about her skin and how she has to do all this moisturizing, whatever regimen she was going through. And I'm saying to myself, all right, well, I didn't smell any odor in the car, but I smelled a hell of a lot of perfume. That was until after the date. And when she wanted to get intimate, that girl opened those jeans up and pulled them down. I could have sworn I saw geese fly out of her pussy. It the smell. The smell. But that was her regimen. That's what she had. I remember documenting. I got it right here in my journal. Because that was so bizarre to me. Because I couldn't wait. When I got on, I wrote in the journal about this. I'm like, damn. And she was a very attractive woman. But when it came down to that. Mm-mm. And these people are very sensitive about that. Now, what I found out later as we kind of distance ourselves from the intimacy side and focus more on the friendship side, she was sexually assaulted as a child. And the person that did it to her would always tell her to go bathe. And that was an issue for her for years. Still is. She eventually married, had a family, had children. I haven't talked to her in about 2 or 3 years. But hopefully she's doing well. As I said, folks, you will run across people in life that have had experiences that you can't even fathom or deal with. And that's the way it happens. Hell, I went out with a lady one time and she was telling me how to put horseshoes on a horse. And I'm looking at her like, you gotta be kidding me. As feminine as city girl like she was, she grew up on a farm. She knew how to feed pigs, chickens, all that shit. But to look at her, you'd say to yourself, She could never survive out there. But that's what she grew up with. And the one thing I didn't like, we went on a date, and she wore this denim miniskirt with these cowgirl boots. And she looked like she came off of one of those cheap television shows back in the 1970s. The only thing she was missing was a Cadillac Eldorado, one of the big ones. But I was like, oh my goodness. But she was cool. She was really cool. But I can truly say, throughout those 30 plus years of dating, I enjoyed myself. I met a lot of wonderful people. Met some people that were not so great. Met some that were mediocre. And it brought my perspective to a point of appreciating people. So this is why I tell you, in closing here, if you are going to fall in love with someone, or if you have a relationship with someone and it's working where it's headed in that direction, don't let no one else deter you from that if it's working. Don't yield to peer pressure, parental pressure. This is who you love, and that's it. Whether it's same sex, transgender, or whether it's someone of the opposite sex. You gotta be you at some point. As I told you, the most difficult thing you're gonna ever experience in life, self-identifying and being yourself, and controlling your own life. There are so many forces out there to control it. Religion, people with their opinion, family, your friends, mentors. As I told you on this show, you're your own leaders. You're not followers. Even though I don't mind you, definitely, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple. Doesn't cost you anything, so you can get the daily shows. Like after I finish this show right now, starting on tomorrow's show. So I want you good folks to take care. I love you all. Please share the links and subscribe. Take care.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.